Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. Joining me, two people that if there was a wisdom chart, they'd be right up at the top of the wisdom chart. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to get your compliments.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's true.
You're so kind.
I'm not flattering. It is true. Last time we were on, I made a comment, a theological comment, and got a lot of phone calls. I'm not going to do that today. What we're going to do today is we're going to go right to the phones, and I hope and pray that you might join us today on radio. Here's Stephanie. Chesapeake, Virginia is where she's calling from. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right?
Hello?
Yeah. What causes you to call us today? What's that? Stephanie?
Hello? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Now we can.
Oh, okay. My question was, when trying to attempt to live as Christ, being a servant for others, people are mentioning to me that I need to focus more on myself. Is this right or is it wrong?
Here's the ultimate answer. Are you ready? It all depends.
It all depends.
Yeah, it could be right. It could be wrong. For instance, Mother Teresa was called to work with people, poor people, dying people, people that were starving to death. That was her whole life, was committed to them. But guess what? She ate. She took care of herself. If she hadn't, then people would have said to her, hey, look, just because somebody's dying of starvation doesn't mean you should also. You have to eat if you're going to minister to these folks. So there has to be a balance. Jill, what are your thoughts on whether this
is... Well, I'm wondering why you're asking this, Stephanie. Like, what's going on in your life that people are questioning what you're doing?
Because I overly work. I work to the best of my ability for Jesus. And
okay.
I'm a physical therapist assistant. Mm-hmm. I get people who are very depressed. They have their lives changed. They're coming from the hospital. They have a complete stroke. They can't move. And I dedicate so much of my time in them. I'm moving them. And people are telling me that I need to focus more on myself, that I'm doing too much. I work far away, and I mean, I'm having a lot on my plate, but it doesn't seem like a lot on my plate. You know what I mean?
So what you're doing is really worthwhile. You know, your gifts are being used, your education, talent, all of those things. So that's good, and it sounds like you feel good about the work that you do, right?
Yeah.
But are there areas of your life that you're neglecting that would cause people to say this about you? Like, what's not getting done when all of your energy is going towards your work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like there are only two options here. Either these people making these comments are unhealthy and they're jealous that you're doing such a great job, or they care about you.
They're observing your life.
Yeah, be sure you've got balance and you're taking care of yourself over time.
But it's not an either or. It's the balance thing.
Both and.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get back.
I got an analogy I'll use when we come back.
Okay, so hold on. We're gonna talk about this and give you a little bit of help when we come back. You're listening to New Life Live, and we're very, very glad that you are. And if you need help today, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That could be the beginning of new life when you call.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Stephanie, who is a servant of Jesus and loves helping people. And some people have said, hey, don't forget you, Stephanie. Stephanie, you were about to say something before we went to the break. What was that? Do you remember?
Well, I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway. This is what it was.
Okay.
Well,
when the Holy...
What is it? The Holy Spirit?
When the Holy Spirit talks to you, you're supposed to listen to Him above your flesh, above yourself. And if your flesh and yourself is being put aside, and you're putting the Holy Spirit above yourself, then, yes, you are going to... Right? Is that what you should do?
Here's the thing.
No.
Here's the thing. This is why I said no. Because a lot of people think they're listening to the Holy Spirit, and what they're listening to is a reaction to a wound. So, they might not actually be hearing the Holy Spirit. They might be hearing their own thoughts. So how do you know if you're really hearing from the Lord? That's what the Holy Spirit is. How do you know that? Well, you'd want to have some other people give their opinion about what you've heard. For instance, if someone said, I feel the Holy Spirit is saying to me, run out and play in traffic. Well, somebody would say, no, I don't think that's true. I think that's a weird thing. That's not the Holy Spirit. You've got a psychiatric problem if that's what you think. All right? So that's pretty obvious, mm-hmm. right? But there are less obvious times when we feel like it's the Holy Spirit moving us, but really it's us trying to get some other need met or resolve some defect of character. That's what we have to be cautious about. And here's the question. If you have friends saying to you, hey, I'm thinking you need to take care of yourself better. I think you might have a need for some balance in your life. You might be over-serving, and it's not going to go well in the long run. You might get burned out. What's the negative of stopping and thinking, could the Lord be speaking to me through these people? Why wouldn't you just be open to that? That God's speaking to you through some other folks that love you.
Yes. I agree with that.
Because it sounds like to me it wasn't just one person that said this to you. It's a couple of people. And, you know, my thing is if one person says that you're a horse, ignore them. If two people say you're a horse, you ought to think about it. And if the third says it, maybe it's time to get a saddle. I mean, you might actually be that.
Well, some people are watching you and thinking you're trying to pour a glass of cold water for people in need from an empty pitcher.
And taking care of yourself is going and refilling your pitcher so you have something to give to these people. So there's a balance in there, Stephanie.
What happens if my filter, I mean, my pitcher has been filled by God?
No, you got to.
I'm trying to pour out to other people.
The analogy breaks down then. You've got to fill the pitcher.
We need other people.
Yeah, God uses other people to fill us.
And now, here, Stephanie, I want you, if you haven't heard anything I've said, I'd like you to listen to this part right here. Are you ready?
Yes.
There are a lot of people with a heart like yours. They're convinced that they're absolutely wrong, right about their serving and these things. They don't think people are as spiritual as them. Did you hear that part? Which is what you're saying. They're not as spiritual as me. They don't know what they're talking about. And I guarantee you, Jill and Dave would agree this. I have watched those people turn completely away from the faith years later. They burn out. They burn up. They have no resources. They feel like they're isolated and alone. Just like you say, they think the God's filling me up, and they think they don't need people. And then when they're on empty, they don't have resources, and they give up their faith. I've seen it happen. So what I'm saying to you is you've got to protect yourself. You've got to preserve what you have right now. And I would really be listening to those other folks. Dave, Jill, anything else you want to say?
What happens if I do that with my relationship? What happens if I do that? If I do that in my relationships too, where I'm overly working, not only for my job or any other area, but I'm overly working in my relationships too.
Well, it's called codependency. Sometimes
you end up isolated.
Yeah.
Well, right, but it's if you're. What you're saying is you're overly working. If you overly work in your relationships, meaning if you go in the other direction and you neglect work, I mean, because we're talking about a balance. We're talking about not making anything an idol in your life.
You know, what I heard is that she's, and you can tell us.
Yeah, maybe I'm not hearing it right,
Stephanie. That you don't just help people at your work, but in your relationships, you're really working hard to serve the people in the relationships too. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have mutual peer relationships where people also help you? Like, why are you always the giver? Can you be on the receiving end? Is it easy for you to accept help or to be the one in need? Or is that a difficult position for you to be in? Because it always feels like a stronger place to be the one who's benevolent and who's giving the weaker people the help. Right? But we all, you know, as helpers, right? And that's in what we do too. We have to be willing to receive. We have to know what it feels like to be on the receiving end. And we have to be humbled enough too to admit that we have needs. Because this is where Steve is talking about where you break down. If you're always the one that's giving and just getting the good feelings from that, you're not laying enough of a foundation for yourself.
Well,
right? You break down.
And that's a way to...
I'm not getting good feelings, though.
Okay.
I'm getting, I get rejections, and I'm loving the unlovely. I'm repeatedly getting rejections from other people, and I'm continually trying to work hard through it. So it's not that I'm getting a positive outcome from these people. I'm getting rejected.
The people that you,
like when
at work?
My job.
Okay.
Yes, with people at work. So I'm overly working for these patients. They don't want me there because their lives, they're depressed. They don't want to get out of bed.
Right. Okay.
So it's not a positive. I'm not receiving anything out of it. Except for that I'm doing it for God in my relationship with God. That's the only thing that's positive that I'm receiving.
But obviously your friends...
And then at the end, when they change.
Right. So you're in for the long haul, is what you're saying, right?
But your friends are seeing a lack of balance, that you're not taking care of yourself, that you're giving and giving and giving. And at some point, you'll burn out if you don't... take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's what people
are
trying to
concerned about.
To warn you about,
it's,
Stephanie.
It's really easy to get into a thing where we think we know better than the people around us, and we've got a higher calling, and we're at a different spiritual level. And just to ask yourself, is that what's happening here? Or, you know, am I really doing the right thing? And I'm just saying, everything you've said here says to me, you're probably the needle's tipping too far over in the over-service, and you really ought to try some connection, relational connection, in a different way with some folks that you trust, so that when they say, hey, you need to get a little balance here, they're going, you're saying, oh yeah, maybe I do, versus, oh, they don't understand. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit.
And
okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jill.
Well, Stephanie, how old are you? She's gone now. Well, I would just look, too, at what stage of life you're at. And there are certain milestones in life. And are you maybe avoiding some of those milestones? Because if we work all the time, are we furthering our life and moving along? And
well, I think you also are avoiding connection.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to help you. I think there's some balance here that could really help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we are right here. We want to help you here. Let's go to Betty, Seattle, Washington, listens online. How you doing, Betty? What's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you, Steve. My question is, am I supposed to fight to save my marriage in spite of my husband's lack of commitment to it?
Okay, so what's going on? What? How long have you been married, and what's happening?
We have been married for almost 3 years, but it has been an on and off relationship, mostly off. He insists on maintaining a relationship with his ex-wife. He feels responsible to make sure that.
What does that mean? What kind of relationship does he have with her?
They communicate periodically, texting over the phone. And some of the texts that I have seen, she invites him over for dinner, for a movie, and he admits that he has been there for at least 2 times.
Oh, boy. Well, that's not good.
So they're not still raising kids together, right?
No, they're married and out of the house.
Okay.
In his mind, he's doing it because he's a caring Christian man, and I'm just not.
No, he's not a caring person. He's a person with wrong priorities.
Right.
He married you. And so
exactly.
That's where the caring priority needs to be. And so mm-hmm. A man saying, you being upset with me for watching movies with my ex-wife, well, you're not as caring as I am, and I'm really just caring for her. He's a deceptive
man. Yeah, if he cares so much, why did he divorce?
That's my thinking. She is an alcoholic, and that's why he divorced her.
Oh.
And I think that he now carries a lot of guilt and remorse.
Hmm.
Well, the question for you is, why aren't you going to Al-Anon, and why aren't you demanding that he get help for his alcoholism? Because you know what alcoholics do? What's that?
It's the ex-wife's, right?
The ex-wife's alcoholic.
Right.
He's not an alcoholic.
Yeah, she is the alcoholic. No.
Okay, so you should be demanding that he go to Al-Anon and you go with him, you know, because he's obviously still there, codependent with her.
Right.
You're going to have to make some demand. I wouldn't be talking about divorce. Mm-hmm. I'd be talking about doing different things. Jill, what are you thinking here?
Well, right. I mean, Steve, you know, it's common that men have, you know, reflect on things after they've remarried, and men typically marry sooner in between marriages is
mm-hmm.
less. So I think to say that you understand that he may, you know, be having some feelings, some regret, some reflecting on what happened. But now that the two of you are committed, you know, you need to be with him in this, right? In addition to that, he maybe needs to get some help with a therapist. He's not going to resolve it by going back to her, right? That's just going to create a new problem that he'll have regret about later with you.
Well, the thing is that every time when I have brought this issue up, he just runs off and leaves me hanging. So right now he is not here because he's taken off because I am just not a very understanding kind of person.
So are you getting any kind of counseling, marriage counseling yourself? Because that's what you need. You need somebody to give you some daily management advice here. Somebody that can even invite him into the counseling experience to gain some insight here. Because this is a horrible situation for you. And it's not going to go away until some different things happen. We'll talk about that after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. So our best advice for Betty, Dave, what do you think that's going to be with a husband that's more interested in meeting the needs of the alcoholic ex-wife? What's our best formula for her?
I think the place you have to start, Betty, is finding out if he's even willing to work on your marriage. And then the first step is what Steve said earlier. The two of you need to go to Al-Anon and help him to get an understanding of what you do with an alcoholic, and you understand the same things. But he's regretting his decision to divorce, and he's trying to live in both worlds, and he ends up in neither world because he's conflicted inside with what he did.
Well, and just as his ex-wife escapes through alcohol, he sounds like he escapes through avoiding things, right?
Yeah.
So if you come at him in anger, Betty, he's just going to run away from you.
So that's why you find out if he's willing to work
on your
relationship.
But I think you have to come from a place of compassion and softness, mm-hmm. right, and gentleness, and some understanding that it makes sense that he might be grieving the loss of the other relationship at this point, that that's not an uncommon thing, and that you're willing to work with him through that to get to a place where the two of you can feel connected and in a good spot moving mm-hmm. forward. Is he willing to work with you?
Hmm. Does that make sense, Betty?
I hope that's helpful. And I think, and you can see there that she's not on there.
Yeah.
I hope that does make sense. And let me send you a copy of Smart Love. I think that's going to help you. And we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. And that's going to help both of you in this journey out of codependency and maybe understanding how all of this happens. That's what I want for him, is to understand how he could have gotten in that marriage, left it, got a new marriage, mm-hmm. and wants back in the old marriage.
Yeah, we really feel for you, Betty.
Yeah.
Hard spot.
All right, let's go to Lourdes from Revere, Massachusetts. W-E-Z-E is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Lourdes.
Lourdes.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi, W-E-Z-E, a great station, and how can we help today?
Yes, I have a question regarding on my marriage. I got separated from my husband a year ago. Like everybody, not everybody, but some people in church and some family members too, they've been telling me that I should like work it out, that we should like go back and all that stuff, and sometimes I feel like that I should do it or no, because I find out that he was like hitting my kids, and that he has some like narcissism traits and stuff like that that I figured out after, because when I was in the relationship with him, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't point to something. But I've been like doing my homework, and I think I'm not an expert on that. But I think he has some like narcissism traits, and my question for you guys is like, in a case like this, that I should fight for my marriage, or I should just, because I heard that like from this stuff from narcissism, like no, a lot of people can like get better from this. I know God is a God of mm-hmm. impossible, but if people don't put in their part, I know it's not much that God can do if they don't want to change.
Okay.
Well,
and
that's true with anybody. Right? If they don't do their part, there's not any hope.
That's right.
Right?
But let's address the issue of people saying to you that you should go back with him and work it out. Okay? So let me just address that. You are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would say to them that would be really wonderful. The problem is he's hitting our children. He's out of control, and I'm not going to take my children back into a situation where they're not safe and then have to get them back out of that situation again. So what I'm looking for is wisdom on how best to deal with him that might motivate him to get some help for his problem. But me just moving back in, or him moving back in, it doesn't solve anything, and it has great potential to complicate the pain and the suffering that our children are going through.
Well, and Lourdes, it doesn't sound like you've been doing anything together this past year, that you've been separated. So there's no basis for him moving back in, especially when there's the abuse issue. That's got to be dealt with. You need to get into counseling together and negotiate a way to come back and a way to protect your kids at the same time.
Okay.
Yes, Lourdes, I agree. So many people separate because there's a crisis, something happens. And certainly, number one was you needed to protect your kids. But just to think that separation alone is going to change things is...
It'll be a couple of months, and it'll be right back to where
right.
it was.
Right, it's unrealistic. Yeah. There has to be something within the separation that is working the two of you back together, not just time. So what are you doing, or have you done anything? And if not, let's start doing some things with some help that would give you guys a chance or let you see if there was any hope.
There you go. All right. 1-800-229-3000. I'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. You said you saw some of that in him. I think it'll help you. A whole series of Understanding and Loving a Person is available. Things like a person that's borderline or bipolar, a lot of things that are addressed in those books.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us. And, I'll tell you, I hope that you'll think about this Restore workshop next Friday. Restore. And that's for women that have been betrayed and a husband, sexual integrity problem. Really could change everything if you'd go. You get so much great insight and support forever. You develop friends for a lifetime. And so if you've never, ever been, this could really change everything. And, you know, Every Man's Battle, there's only one left for this year, and that would be great if you could get into that if you were a man. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about that. Every Man's Battle, and then Restore also. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Beth from Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
Hey, this is Gregory from Georgia.
Oh, hey, Gregory. How are you? Good to talk to you there from Atlanta.
I can't complain. Thank you for taking my call anyway, but I was just calling to commend you all. You all do great work in sharing and giving great information to people for help. And
well, thank you.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Well, I wish I'd gone to your call sooner.
Oh, how about that? And also, I would like to share a beautiful motivational, inspirational YouTube video. It's called Palm Trees Bend But Never Break. Again, that's palm trees.
Okay.
Well, never break. And that's a beautiful motivational piece.
All right, Gregory, did you do that beautiful motivational piece? Is that something that you did, that you created there?
Yes, and I am a Christian, and it's just a little 2-minute little clip, and I was blessed to be able to do it, and I just like to cast a blessing on continuously.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thanks for getting in touch with us and encouraging us, and then you could promote this, and I hope it really helps folks. I haven't seen it, so I can't really recommend it, but thanks for calling us. How about we talk with Casey, Austin, Texas. KKHT is the station. Hello, Casey. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I'm just kind of struggling in my relationship with my mother, mainly. I have a twin sister that's mentally ill and has been for most of our life. And I'm just, my mother continues to make choices that are toxic to our family, I feel like, and her grandchildren, my twin sister's kids, because she just has continued to enable my twin sister, and I'm just having a hard time maintaining a relationship with her in spite of her continuing to make some of these choices.
Okay, so the question for us is what?
Is how to maintain a relationship with my mother even when I feel like she's making choices that are toxic for
us. So tell us one toxic choice that she's making.
Well, for example, my twin sister, like I said, she's mentally ill and she is refusing to get treatment. My mother continues to allow her to come into the home and stay there, and, she's just extremely manipulative. My mom and her have a very codependent relationship, and she just basically sucks the life out of the room, and she, my parents just continue to enable her in her manipulations and her refusing to get treatment.
Sounds like there's not a lot left over then for the rest of you.
Yeah, there's nothing left over for the kids. And, it's like my mom just, she runs all over the place. She doesn't take care of herself. She doesn't get the counseling and the help that she needs. She knows.
So she does the same thing.
She acknowledges that.
She does the same thing your sister does.
Right.
She doesn't get help. Right.
But in my heart, I don't feel like it's right to just shut them out of my life.
Okay.
Why would you shut them out of your life? They need you in their life, right?
Yeah. And honestly, I know that I shouldn't, but it's just very hard when you're in a situation of like it just seems like chaos in the house and in the home. And
but here's the thing, you don't
hard.
Live with them. You don't live with them, right? Or do you?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. So the question is, am I upset at the way they're living, or am I upset that they won't do what I tell them to do? And
sometimes...
Yeah,
and I think the answer is both.
Okay. And sometimes we don't want to have anything to do with people because they won't do what we want them to do. But what we need to do is to accept the fact I can't do anything about them. They're too far gone. Now I need to love them, even though it's very, very uncomfortable.
You got to give up your expectations that something's going to be different because it's not going to be different.
Well, and there can be that hope that if somehow you could get them to do something different, if you could get mom to do something different, that things would change in the family, and then maybe you would have more of a family that wasn't so chaotic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a very understandable desire. Of course you want your family to be
nieces,
better.
Mm-hmm. For the kids especially,
Yeah, because
you have
a hard
time accepting it.
Yeah, of course.
The chances of them doing something that you want them to do, pretty remote, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
They don't listen to
obvious.
You. They don't listen to you. And they kind of think that you think you know it all for everybody, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
So they're calling. They're calling radio shows, and
they're complaining about their sister.
What do we do with this sister who thinks she knows everything, and her daughter, and everybody ought to be doing stuff the way she does? And then when we don't do it, she doesn't want to have anything to do with us. So what I would say to you is, Don't be that person. Be the person that loves them and cares about them. If they ask for your advice, maybe you could give them some of that. But if they don't ask for it, maybe you love them anyway.
Well,
and build relationships with the rest of the family.
The nieces.
The nieces and the grandchildren.
But
Casey,
so you continue in relationship with them, but then you put boundaries around the things that negatively impact you. Okay? And as Steve said, you change your expectations. Right? They have to come to a place where they want the help.
And they're not going to come to that place.
Right?
When we get calls like this of what can I do in these kind of situations? Really, the answer is not much. You know, it's frustrating, but people get locked into these roles, and when you don't have any kind of authority or power over them, they turn against you, and you mm-hmm. become the problem, not them. And it's just mm-hmm. too bad, because you can see some things that they can't see. But sometimes when mm-hmm. you quit trying to fix them and you just care about them, I'm just wondering why you don't lean into the sister and try to become something to her that you're not anymore. Try to develop a relationship that isn't there anymore. What would be the negative of that?
Nothing other than... I mean, I guess I just don't know how to be in the relationship without mm-hmm. trying to, like,
help.
Make
it's
things
too painful.
Better. And yeah. it's always such chaos. It's always such an emergency. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm put in the position of just trying to be, you know, helpful in the conversation, because it's always calling with a problem.
Right.
And then I end up making her mad. And then I get the wrath of, you know, saying the wrong thing.
Sometimes you just need
whatever.
To listen.
So,
yeah, just
and you just need to put it back.
So
what do you think you should do in this situation?
Yeah.
But Casey, I think that a CODA group would be really good for you.
Well, Steve, you talked about the 12 steps for anyone
mm-hmm.
or any kind of problem, and in your
right.
case, Casey, the first step is really the place that you can start that, where you say I'm powerless to change the chaos that exists in this family. And to really come to grips with the powerlessness of it and turn it over to the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so once we accept powerlessness, everything starts to change and our frustration ends, and then we start making some contributions to the solutions.
Right.
Out of love, concern, not out of nobody's listening to me, or I don't, you know, I'm not.
Well, and you can't be.
I'm just going to give up on them.
You can't be working harder than they are working, right?
So true.
So you stay in relationship, but you don't work harder, and you don't do for them what they need to do for themselves.
Yeah. Easier
Two
said
important
than
points.
Done. You'll need help with doing
it. Kind of like life. Easier said than done. We'll be back after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really hope that you can help us. If you can, we'll give you a wonderful little gift of our New Life calendar. We do it every year. Great inspiration, pictures, photographs. It's a beautiful calendar. And this year,
so the calendar is our gift?
366 days on this calendar because it's leap year.
Oh, it is?
So it's an extra special calendar.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, extra day. We didn't try to cut costs and leave out that extra day. No, sir. You get all 366 days, and that's our way of saying thank you for helping us do what we do. What do we do? Well, listen to this. Here's from Denise in India. She says, I learned a phrase, live in peace, not in pieces. Thank you for your ministry to us. I found myself in pieces 6 weeks ago, and if it wasn't for New Life Ministries, I would have been another suicide statistic. My perfect world completely collapsed right around me, and I had nowhere to turn in my community. Your call center staff were amazing, and for the next 2 days, I experienced peace. I believe someone at New Life was praying for me, and I want to give regularly so that more people will be saved. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
So help us. Awesome. Help others. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and I'll send you this. It is the New Life annual calendar. And you can only get it here because this is the only New Life Ministries. There are other vitamin companies and churches named New Life, but we're the ones with the 366-day calendar. All right, let's go and talk with, how about we talk with Rusty? Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 131, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. How are you? What's going on in your life today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing okay. How can we help you?
Hello?
Yeah, how can we help you?
I was just curious, and there's a lot of talk about anger and all that stuff, and what is it okay to be angry? Because in today's world, it's like, oh, you're crucified if you feel angered. Like,
not if it's justified anger. What are you angry about?
Yeah, like if you, it's kind of a general discussion because it just seems like men take a lot of brunt these days for being angry, and it's, let's say some, maybe someone, something as simple as shot your dog right in front of your face in your yard, or you caught your wife, in bed with another man.
Well, of course, no. Anybody would be angry if they found their spouse in bed with someone else. Now, here's the other thing, though. Bible tells us to get rid of all anger, bitterness, and resentment. So, what is okay to experience in the moment because it's just natural, something like that. But it isn't okay to hang on to that. To justify being a constantly angry person, that the only response you have to anything that happens is anger, That mm-hmm. wouldn't be a good thing, see?
And I think that's with a lot of men. It's their go-to emotion.
Yeah.
Instead of the other emotions, they go to anger. And so it gets a bad rap that way, I think.
And they hold on to it. Anger is supposed to come and go. It comes for a purpose to protect yourself, and then it goes away. So if someone is continually angry, they're holding on to their anger, and that qualifies as be angry and sin.
Right.
And so here's the other thing.
Paul.
We're committed to helping men in whatever way that we can help them. And if we just said it's okay to be angry, we might enable them to stay angry and miss what's really there. Often, mm-hmm. anger covers up being afraid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. hurt.
And the angry man is a scared man.
Yeah.
Or the angry man is a man full of shame sometimes. And we want to see that next level of healing and change take place.
Isn't it so interesting, Steve, that men have a hard time owning those emotions, and yet that's what they evoke in others, right? Especially like women.
Yes.
We get afraid of an angry man, right?
Yeah.
Because men come across more powerful.
And a woman might call and say, well, I think it's okay for women to be controlling.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? And then you say, well, you know, controlling might be covering up some fear that's there. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to stay in control, and nobody has control. We have an illusion of control, and we're destroying relationship with control. So it goes both ways, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. Everybody has that presenting emotion, and many times underneath it, there's something else.
Well, the key is holding on to it, to where I become an angry man.
Right.
If I get angry at a situation and then let it go, that's a healthier form of anger. And it's not mm-hmm. going to get you in trouble, but typically. But holding on to it gets you in trouble.
Right. Phyllis Diller said she and her husband, Fang, agreed to never go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they'd stay up for 3 or 4 days. And it's be angry and sin not.
And
so
sin not.
There's
right.
not saying don't ever be angry. It's saying okay, anger's going to happen, but let's don't hold on to it and make it something.
Yeah,
horrible.
And use it to motivate you to do right.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. Well, the right thing for us to do is to tell you we're out of time, and to ask you to call
today.
Us if you need some help. I really, really hope and pray that something we say here can be helpful to you, that if it is, you'll call us and let us know, encourage us, maybe support us financially, pray for us. But if you need some assistance, you know, we've got folks there, they want to talk to you about anything. There's no problem too big or too small. And just get some insight. Maybe there's a book, maybe it's a counselor, a Christian counselor that's dedicated their whole life to applying wisdom and truth to your life. That's what they want to do, and that's what they've been called to do. And we honor them for doing that. So you let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is that number. Now, you know, on the 15th of November in Washington, D.C., we're doing a Restore workshop for any woman that's been hurt by a man that has a sexual integrity problem. And so many times we struggle alone. There's no reason to when there's so much help available. Restore is one of those. Every Man's Battle is December the 6th. That's the last one for this year. So you please don't drag that into 2020. Do take care of it right now. And our intimacy in marriage is February the 14th on Valentine's Day. But right now, I would just ask you to consider prayerfully supporting this ministry with a gift of any amount. I'll send you our calendar, the New Life calendar. As we said, 366 days. But it's got all of our events, the things that we do. It's got words of encouragement, great photography, Please, that is our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. And as I read that letter, here was somebody that was ready to end it all, but because not only did we have a radio show, but they knew they could call the call center. And your support supports people being on the phones when they're needed. She says, that's why I'm alive today. Well, I love hearing that. And if you want to be part of that, you call us and be part of that and support us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.